Welcome to Making the Magic, a podcast talking about all things Disney, Universal and beyond. This week we're venturing out of Orlando to Florida's Space Coast, just 45 minutes away from the theme parks and home of the Kennedy Space Center. It's a great place for a day trip or a longer stay. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Martin, and this week we're joined by an amazing out-of-this-world guest, Peter, who is the Executive Director at the Space Coast Office of Tourism.
Well, hi, Peter. Thanks very much for joining us to tell us all about Florida's Space Coast, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on, and I look forward to having a lengthy discussion about the Space Coast with you.
Yeah, I know. We're really looking forward to it, too. Of course, you're talking to us from Florida as you're based out there. So typical Brit question, we've got to ask you, what's the weather like?
Yes, well, I always like to brag about our weather. And I know in many other countries and in the northern part of the United States, it's been quite frigid, but it is a very balmy 80 degrees Fahrenheit or 26 Celsius today, and clear skies, and the beach is beautiful. So that's all I can say. So hopefully people will be jealous and they can come and experience it for themselves.
Yeah, you've definitely made me feel very jealous. It's a very nice sunny day here in the UK, but certainly not that temperature, very, very far from it. But hopefully we'll be back there very soon to enjoy that sunny weather.
Absolutely. Love to have you.
How busy are things over there for you at the moment? Obviously, there's no international tourists coming over, but yes. Are you getting more people coming from other states or within the state of Florida coming out to the coast?
Yeah, so actually we just kicked off our spring season starting March 1st. And I actually live in Cocoa Beach, so I live very close to the beach. And I noticed a significant increase in traffic the last 2 weeks. A lot of people have, school breaks around this time between now and Easter. So we're getting a lot of locals, a lot of Florida residents, but we're seeing some people from out of state as well. As you mentioned, probably not as much on the international front, which typically we would have a lot of that this time of year, but right now, probably not as much more US travel.
Yeah, well, hopefully we will all be back there soon. It's a great time of year to be coming across said great weather, and it is one of my favorite times to visit Florida. So let's start with the basics. I mean, we're talking about the Space Coast. How easy is it to get there, and why are you called the Space Coast?
I'll take the last part of the question first. The Space Coast is known for Kennedy Space Center, which is the home of many launches that are organized by NASA, which is our federal organization that handles all of our space travel, visits to the International Space Station and things like that. But we're also home to the Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. That was recently renamed. It used to be Air Force Station. Now it's a Space Force Station, which is a new branch of the military that's located here. And they launch a lot of satellites, a lot of sort of top secret things go on there, but also you'll see a lot of commercial traffic. And that's happening more and more now. And it's interesting, not only is the government launching things through NASA, SpaceX and these other private companies are doing a lot with launches. So we are literally the biggest destination in the world for launches. And they're happening about once a week. So we have close to over 50 launches a year happened last year, and that's going to even be increased next year. And then, of course, last year we had the return to human space flight. So we had two launches that featured U.S. and I think there were some international astronauts on a capsule going up to the International Space Station. So that was very exciting to have, that return. We haven't had that since 2011, back when the space shuttle program was finishing up. So it's nice to have, human space launches again, and there'll be several more this year. And then as far as getting here, it's very easy to get here. Of course, we're just near Orlando. We're Orlando's closest beach, as we like to say, literally 45 minutes from Orlando International Airport. We also are close to Sanford International Airport, which that's another airport that a lot of flights from the UK come into. And then Melbourne International Airport, which next year will be featuring some flights from TUI, the tour operator that's based over there. They have a number of flights that are going to be direct service from the UK. So We've got a lot of ways to get here from air travel. And of course, then once you're here, it's very easy to get here, whether it be through transportation, ground transportation from either the airport or from various hotels. Or if you want to do a car hire, you can do that. And that's also a very good way to get here. And it's a very easy drive. It's literally one highway from Orlando here. So it's not a lot of turns. You don't have to, if you just keep going east, you'll hit the beach and you've arrived.
Yeah, we've done that drive out to the Kennedy Space Center several times. And as you say, it's a very easy drive, isn't it? You can't really go too far wrong.
No, it's great. And, you know, having a car, I think, is an advantage. If you're wanting to spend a few days in Orlando to do theme parks or things like that, and then spend a few days at the beach, you know, having a vehicle of your own gives you the flexibility and ability to move around on your own time. Of course, there are plenty of transportation companies that will, you know, do it for you. Of course, we have Uber and Lyft over here, just as you do over there. And that's another way. But probably using a ground transportation service, if you have a lot of luggage with you, that's probably the best way to go if you don't want to rent your own car.
So you mentioned the Kennedy Space Center, and that is one of the big draws to the area. I mean, we have lots of people, perhaps if they can't come for a few days out there, they definitely want to fit in a day trip out to the Space Center. So can you give us a flavor of what people can expect if they're going to visit?
Sure. Well, you know, the Kennedy Space Center is basically a theme park themed around space. And there's a lot of things that you can do and see when you get there. When you first arrive, they have something called the Rocket Garden. We're all familiar with gardens, but this is literally a garden filled with historical rockets from all different missions throughout the history of NASA. And then they have everything from big IMAX theaters, which are the giant screens that show what it's like to go into space. And they have some great films, a couple of different films that you can see that show what missions look like into space. And then they have a number of other displays that are really amazing. They have what's called the Apollo Center. You have to take a bus to get there, but they include that in the ticket. And you go out to the Apollo Center, and literally they have a full Apollo rocket, which was the rocket that went to the moon and was used for many missions related to the moon. They have a full rocket assembled and displayed from the ceiling. So you can walk right into this huge building and just look up and you can see the rocket, take lots of pictures. They actually have one of the original mission control centers there, non-operational now, but you can go in and you can actually see what that looked like. And there's a lunar rover in that building. So there's all kinds of things related to the Apollo program. And then also on the property, there's a huge display of the space shuttle. Space Shuttle Atlantis is there. It's one of four shuttles that were active shuttles and did real missions in space. You can actually still see the scuff marks on the ship from its re-entry and from its launching. It's displayed in an incredible way. And I almost don't want to ruin the surprise for people that go, but you start in this building with a film, and then there's a sort of this grand reveal where you see the space shuttle Atlantis all of a sudden revealed to you hanging from the ceiling in a position as if it were circling Earth. And I get chills talking about it now, but when you're there and watching it, you just get goosebumps. It's really incredible. There's all kinds of displays in that building to kind of show what the space shuttle program was like. So, you know, a lot of different eras of space and science. And, you know, it's right here close to the beach. It's close to anywhere else that you might be in the area. It's probably also about 45 minutes from Orlando. So if people were coming into Orlando, they wanted to drive over, you could do that. Of course, we'd love for you to stay here and stay overnight. But it is something that you can do. You can drive over from Orlando and do for the day and then drive back if you wanted to.
Yeah, you really are giving me goosebumps talking about it. And every time I've been there, I felt the same. I mean, as somebody who grew up, so I'm going to share my age now, but, you know, late 60s into the 70s, watching those grainy pictures on TV of right. Men walking on the moon is just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, no, I was there with you. I was watching as a young boy. I lived in New York City, and we would gather around the television set and at school, and everybody would watch these amazing rockets go up. And now I live here and I get to talk about it. So I'm just very, very lucky to be able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the space shuttle, I think, you know, really iconic space travel. Again, I was very fortunate when I was in Orlando on holiday once to actually see a nighttime launch of the space shuttle. Oh, and then also been there, yeah, when they've had landings and you hear the sonic boom as it's entering the atmosphere. And
We missed that here, not hearing that sonic boom coming every once in a while. I lived right on the beach during the space shuttle era. And of course, when it would come back, the windows would rattle, but it was always sort of an exciting feeling to know that they were coming back home.
And you talked about the Apollo Center. Again, I think just to actually see the rockets, and for me particularly, the little space buggy, to think those things actually went up to the moon. I mean, they just don't look capable of it. It looks a bit like sort of covered in tinfoil, but clearly a bit more substantial than that.
It didn't look like it would really work, but they actually have one of the lunar rovers that actually did operate on the moon, and they have a capsule that was a real capsule that they had used during the space program during the Apollo program when they came back. You know, they would be in this little capsule, and of course the capsule would have these big parachutes that would, you know, help it descend into the ocean, and then they'd have to retrieve it. And you can see right on the capsule, you can see all the scuff marks, and as if it were really, you know, it had just happened. It's incredible.
You were talking about the reveal of the space shuttle. And I think that is, we're not going to explain it or give the sort of secret away to anyone. But as you were saying, the reveal, we were saying you're getting goosebumps. And I think when I saw that, my jaw just dropped. It's yes. Such an amazing moment. I think also what people don't realize is the sheer size and scale of everything.
Right. Outside of that building, if you remember, they have the liquid fuel tank that was attached to the shuttle. So you see the shuttle inside the building, but outside the building, they show the big tank that was attached to it that actually propelled it into space. And just the sheer size of that alone is incredible. And then I forgot to mention that the other really cool thing that you can do in that building is that they have a simulator, and you can actually go in and feel what it was like to launch into space. Now, it's not exactly, of course, the number of the G-force that they felt. It's a percentage of that. But it gives you the idea, and you sort of feel like you kind of are in a horizontal position taking off, and you feel the rumbles, and you feel kind of what it was like for them to be in the space shuttle as they were taking off. That whole display was actually designed by astronauts. It's something that's really incredible. If you've never experienced anything like that, or if you've seen a launch and always wondered, well, I wonder what they're experiencing, it gives you a flavor of that.
And you said there's an awful lot included in that data kit, but if people really are huge space fans or they've got a bit longer, there are some special tours and activities you can do as well, aren't there?
They have some special add-on tours, as well as an add-on. They have this Lunch with an Astronaut program, and something that I've done, I took my father there for his 80th birthday, and he loved it. But you sit and you have basically a served lunch, and there's an astronaut there talking about his or her experiences. And we had somebody that had gone on up to the old space station, the previous space station before the International Space Station was launched. So he was on an old piece of equipment, and he was describing, you know, exactly how he felt and the problems that they had. And it, you know, it was just sort of eye-opening to hear an astronaut talk about all these things and what it's like to be in space. He had been in space for, I think it was like 200 or 300 days. He'd been there a really long time. And of course, your body changes when you're in an environment like that where there's no gravity. And so just to have somebody there that actually, you know, was in that program and experienced it and be close to them and be able to ask them questions. And at the end, we're able to take a picture with him. So that was a really cool thing. They also have a couple of additional tours around the Space Center, around the itself. And then there's a new tour that goes over to the Space Force Station, because there's some old launch pads there that were part of the original Mercury program. And so that was the program that kind of preceded Apollo. And you can see those. And there's also a really cool old lighthouse that has been in Cape Canaveral for almost 100 years. It was there in the 1800s. And so that's really neat. They have a museum there that you can go and tour. But all of that is accessible through the Kennedy Space Center complex. And I just encourage people to go to their website to make sure things are operating and what is operating and what isn't, because that has changed a little bit in the environment we're in. Some of those tours are not happening right now, but they might be back again in the very near future. So, you know, I would just recommend people go to their website for that information.
And they do have a really great website with lots of information, don't they? And a brilliant app as well. So if you want to go and check everything out before you go, there's maps, lots of detailed descriptions of everything there. So if people want more information, we'll definitely link that in the show notes. And people still can experience a rocket launch. They might not be able to see the space shuttle taking off, but there's still rockets taking off very regularly, aren't there?
Very regularly, yeah. I mean, there's a very good chance that there's a rocket that will be, we call them launch attempts, because as anybody who's been around the space program knows, sometimes they go and sometimes they don't. Weather impacts that, as well as some, you know, occasionally they have technical difficulties, but there's usually a launch attempt about once a week right now. That's the schedule they've been keeping pretty regularly for the last year and a half, and they plan on keeping that as we go into the future. So what I would recommend is going online. You can come to our website. We have a site that allows you to check that. We also have an app that you can download on your phone, and it has all the information about upcoming launches and what they are, what the mission is. And those tools will help you kind of plan if you want to try to, you know, coordinate your trip with the launch. Or if you just happen to be here and you just, you know, I wonder if there's a launch this week, and you can find that out and then you can be ready for it.
And if people do want to see that rocket launch and they're fortunate enough to have one there when they're visiting, where's a good place to go and watch from? Do they have to kind of book ahead, or can they just stand somewhere and see it?
I mean, you can book, there are some places at Kennedy Space Center where you can book a place to watch. But I will tell you, I live in Cocoa Beach, which is probably about 15 miles south of the launch pads. And I get a beautiful view right at the beach of those rockets going up. So, I mean, you could be literally at the beach watching it and see it just about as well as being right there on the property. But if you wanted to get, you know, if you want to get a touch closer, you can. They often have special viewing areas on Kennedy Space Center, and you can book that in advance. And again, that's something I would recommend looking at their website for, because that changes. Sometimes they have restricted access depending on what it is that they're launching. If it's a secret mission, they may not, you know, want people out that quite that close. So it's interesting. We live in a very unique area where there's these rockets going up on any given time. And I have to tell you, the other night I had forgotten there was an evening launch in the middle, and I say evening, like 3:30 in the morning. And it woke me up, and I remember waking up and hearing the windows rattle, and I go, I wonder, what is that? What is that? And then it kind of course, I woke up and it occurred to me, oh, there's a rocket going up. So for those of us that live here, it's a regular occurrence, but I know people around the world haven't necessarily ever seen that before. And it's something to be seen for sure.
Sounds absolutely amazing. I think we all have the sort of picture in our head that you have to be on those bleachers that we've kind of seen from the Apollo films and things like that. That you have
right.
to be there
with families
and things like that.
Yeah, just imagine driving down, you know, our main road is A1A on the beach side. And you know, sometimes you're just driving down the road and a rocket's going up. So it's very unique. There are some other cool things around space, too, because we have, you know, there's several, of course, Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex. But then also there's a museum up in Titusville. Titusville is a town right near, adjacent to Kennedy Space Center, and it's called the American Space Museum. And they also have the Space Walk of Fame. And so they have all this old paraphernalia and information and pictures about, you know, from older programs and past launches. And the Space Walk of Fame actually features some of, you know, some of the people that unfortunately lost their lives in pursuit of space travel. And it has a area honoring them. So that's kind of a great thing to see. So it's, there are other things in the area that you can do that are related to that.
I had some clients who came. It was a lady who bought it as a present for her husband's birthday. He's absolutely crazy about space. And they came for a whole week and did literally everything you can do. They did every tour, every behind the scenes thing. Yeah, they went to Titusville. Right. They did the lunch with an astronaut, and he had an amazing time. And I think if you've got even any passing interest in space travel, you really have to go and visit, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing for kids that's so great is learning about the engineering marvels that go into these missions and learning a little bit, you know, more in depth about it. And that's something that you can do as a kid. And they even have something called Space Camp for children. They can go and actually experience a little bit of the training that the astronauts go through. And they actually do a simulated launch. They have them work through a launch. Everybody's got their role and they all have been trained on how to do it. And and kids really love that. And that's another program that children can do with, I believe, an advanced booking as well.
That sounds amazing. What a great way to sort of spend your holiday. And most people, when you get back off your vacation, say, what did you do? Well, I went to space camp. I learned how to send a rocket up into space. And I went, yeah, okay.
I'm actually jealous of the kids. They get to do it. They don't have an adult space camp. I really want to go to adult space camp so I can learn about launching a rocket. I would love to do that.
I think even if the kids necessarily don't have an interest in space, I think once they've been there, they will have an interest in space. It's an addictive place. You will come back just thinking about rockets and space and wanting to find out more about the whole program.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's something that if you're not, you know, if you're not super enthusiastic about it before you go, you certainly will be afterwards.
I think it's a nice change of pace from being in the theme parks as well. When you go into sort of Disney and Universal, you're stepping into this fantasy kind of world, whereas with the Space Center, you're stepping into history. And you can see things that have been to space. But normally when you see something historical, it's generally in a city, and then you've got the rest of, you know, the people who live there just walking around everyday life. Whereas this is a place which is, you can actually step into history that everyone's heard of and everyone knows the stories. And there's not many other places, I don't think there's many other places in the world you can experience this level. It's something that's in the public consciousness as much around the world as the space program, really, is there?
Yeah, I mean, there are other places around the United States that have space and aeronautics featured as part of a museum or an exhibit. And I've been to many of them, but nothing comes close to the experience at Kennedy Space Center. They have really gone all out with that. And, you know, for somebody that, you know, if you're spending any time at Disney or Universal or SeaWorld, you know how great a job the theme parks in Orlando do. Well, this is the same level and quality. And the thing that I would say too is for people that, you know, are theme park aficionados and just love going to theme parks, you know, you can spend days and days and days running around Disney and Universal and having a great time. But if you need a break from that, you know, coming over to the beach for a couple of days will definitely mellow you out. It's something that's very laid back. We have, our community is much smaller than Orlando. It doesn't have quite the population size. And so the traffic is less and people are super friendly here. And, you know, you can go to the Space Center and check that out. And then you can hang out at the beach for a couple of days drinking margaritas or whatever you prefer and adult beverage wise. And, you know, and the kids can have a great time too. They can learn how to surf. We are the East Coast surfing capital of the United States. So when you think about world-class surfing, we have actually a local guy by the name of Kelly Slater is an 11-time world champion surfer, and he grew up here in Cocoa Beach on the Space Coast, and he has a surf camp. There's several other surf schools. Maybe people have heard about Ron John's.
Yeah.
Ron John's Surf Shop is the pinnacle of surf shops. I don't know if I could ever do it justice, but imagine a huge two-story building. It's open 24 hours. You could go there in the middle of the night if you want and buy t-shirts and board shorts and surfboards and everything else you could ever think of. I know people know Ron John's from around the world because I was actually in a bar in Dublin once, and I was sitting at the bar and I looked up at behind the bar and on the shelf was a Ron John's cup. So I knew that somebody had been to Cocoa Beach at one point in their life and brought a cup back. But yeah, I mean, no matter where you go, you hear about it, and it's certainly world famous. And there's a lot of other surf shops around, Cocoa Beach Surf Company and Beach Wave. And so you're in a very beach culture. You know, it's a surf culture. It's a culture that sort of has created its own sort of vibe, if you will. And it's what I would call, what we say in America, it's very chill. You know, it's very laid back and relaxed, and it's a different kind of place to live. And so if you're coming from London or from a big city, this is sort of the opposite of that experience. And it gives you a chance to kind of reinvigorate yourself and recharge your batteries. And to me, it's the proper way to do a holiday.
Yeah, very kind of relaxing. I think, as you said, if you are spending all that time walking around the theme parks, it's good to have a change of pace. So if people were looking to go and stay out at the Space Coast, where's a good place for them to base themselves, and what kind of accommodation is on offer?
We have 72 miles of beach in our county, you know, from Cape Canaveral and Cocoa Beach all the way down to Melbourne Beach and Sebastian Inlet. And all along the beach side, you know, I would say you'd probably, you know, if you're coming on holiday, you'd want to be on the beach side if you can. There's many beachfront hotels, and then there's beachfront would be right on the beach. And then there's beachside hotels where they're, you know, they're in the beach town, but they might be across the street, not necessarily right on the beach. And both offer a variety of options. There's sort of the traditional kind of resort type of property. There's a lot of what we call suite properties. So you can actually have, sometimes there's, they'll have a mini refrigerator in it, or they'll have a little small stove and microwave so you can do a little bit of cooking. You know, there's all kinds of different options. And I would say something for everyone's taste and price range. You guys as travel agents have the ability to help people kind of pick and choose what works for them and for their family. And I just, you know, would recommend taking a look through all the different options and seeing what makes the most sense depending on your party size and what you're looking for. But there's truly something for everyone here when it comes to accommodations. And many of those that are in kind of like the Cocoa Beach, Cape Canaveral, Melbourne Beach, they're very close to all the other amenities. So all the other shops and all the other restaurants and things like that. So that's the nice thing, is that when you come over to the beach side, everything's relatively compact and pretty close together. So it's not hard to get from one point to another.
Talks a little bit about the beaches. Could you tell us a little bit more about sort of the wildlife things, experiences you can do over there, and the outdoor experience as well, please?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, you know, in addition to the beach and space, is we are also known for quite a bit of nature and natural experiences, everything from hiking and biking to kayaking. There are things that you can do on your own as a family in terms of, you know, maybe renting some bicycles or renting some kayaks. But there's also a lot of tours that you can do. What I like about the tours, even as a local, I like to go sometimes on a tour because you learn a lot from the tour guides that you wouldn't necessarily know on your own. So if you went, for instance, on a kayak trip in either the Indian River or the Banana River, which are the kind of the two big rivers that are on the other side of the beaches. So you have one side of the beaches is the Atlantic Ocean. And then on the other side of the beaches on the west side is the Banana River and the Indian River. And they're huge rivers that run the length of our county. There's just miles and miles of lots of little estuaries, lots of little islands, different things that house all kinds of animals and birds. So if you're into that, you know, those natural settings, we definitely have something that would meet your needs. And also near the Kennedy Space Center, there's something called the Merritt Island Wildlife Refuge. It's a national park. It's one of the largest national parks of its kind. There's one side of it where you can just go and kayak and hike through. And then on the beach side, they have the Cape Canaveral National Seashore that you can go to. And it's basically old Florida there's no buildings, there's no anything there. It's just purely how the beach was 100 years ago or 200 years ago. The only thing you can see sometimes is you can see the rocket launchers up over on the Kennedy Space Center side, which you can't access from the beach, but you can see them sometimes. But other than that, it's a very pristine beach. There's a beach called Playa Linda and other beaches out there. And it's really nature at its finest. And for anybody that loves to spend time outdoors, we have truly something for everyone.
One of the attractions I know you've got there is Brevard Zoo. It's somewhere I haven't visited yet. I have to say yet, because that is definitely on my list. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. Brevard Zoo is recognized as one of the top zoos in the country. And the reason it's so unique is that all the natural settings that I just was talking about, that's how they built the zoo. They basically found this huge area of wildlife. And they said, let's keep it like it is, but, you know, create basically walkways and create a zoo within it, all kinds of incredible animals. But one of the things they have is they have a little stream that goes through the zoo, and you can actually kayak through the stream past the giraffes and all the other animals. So it's something that I've never seen at any other zoos. I've gone to a lot of other great zoos around our country, and I've never seen anything that's quite like that, because it really truly feels like you're walking in the middle of the wilderness, but then you can get up close to some of the animals. Of course, they have alligators, which Florida is well known for, you know, so if you've never seen an alligator, you can get pretty close to them at the zoo in a safe environment. and don't do like I did. I went down to the Everglades one time and I was hiking through the Everglades and there was a big 16-foot alligator about 100 feet away from me. And I realized that I was perhaps a little too close in a wildlife setting. So I prefer the zoo where I know the alligators stay on their side of the fence and I'll stay on my side and I'll be okay. But, you know, the other thing that in the rivers, go back to the zoo in a second, but I just wanted to mention in the rivers is we have not only river dolphin, but we also have manatees. Manatees are actually only unique to very small parts of the United States. They're nowhere else in the world. They're affectionately known as sea cows. These creatures top 900 to 1,000 pounds, some of them, and they're very docile. They are herbivores, so they only eat seagrass and things like that. You can get very close to them in kayaks and in boats. And of course, there's always signs around to make sure you go very slowly when you go by boat because they often can get cut by the propellers of the boat. So people have to be really careful as they go by them. And there's a huge effort to make sure that we preserve these animals because they are endangered and you're not allowed to touch them or go, you know, that close to them. But you can certainly see them very clearly and they're beautiful to watch in the water. They're just amazing. And it's like nothing I've ever seen in any other waterway. But the zoo has a lot of those other kinds of experiences, like I mentioned, you know, the alligators and chimpanzees and birds. And, you know, they're all in their natural setting. So it's so cool to really watch them. They just got recently a black bear. It came too close to an area where there were people living. And so they had to relocate it. Well, the zoo built this huge habitat for it. And now it's, you know, safe in its natural environment. And you can get very, very close to it and see it. And it's just, it's incredible to see these animals up close in their natural setting.
It does look amazing from the pictures I've seen. And you said the kayaking alongside the animals, it does look a very, very special experience. And they have a zip line as well there, don't they?
They have a something called Treetop Trek, and it's zip line, but it's also got a sort of a, what I would call a ropes course. If you've never quite seen this, it's something that the military started with in terms of their, you know, trying to get their soldiers in shape. Well, that's become popularized over here, and people who like to, you know, go up and walk across very, you know, thin lines of rope and cable from tree to tree. And you have to use a lot of upper body strength to kind of hold yourself onto the lines and make sure you're not falling off of it. But you're tethered, you're you know, very safe because they tether you with a safety harness. But you feel very much like you're going through the trees like Tarzan. And then you get on these little zip lines and you can ride across a big lake, other areas that they have. I will tell you, they have all different levels. They have sort of a beginner, and intermediate, and advanced. And I went and did the intermediate one because I thought, okay, well, I'm in pretty good shape. I figure I could go do it. I called the manager of the zoo afterwards, and I said, I am so sore after doing this thing. I thought I could do it, and I ended up making it about halfway through and realizing I was out of my depth. It was so difficult. But it was fun. It was exhausting, but it was a lot of fun. And like I said, they have a beginner. So they have a kids course so the kids can experience it. You know, if you're adventurous and want to try something a little more higher up in the trees, then you can go up to the next level. And, you know, they basically cater to what your skill set is. But I will tell you, it's a very, very interesting course that they have. And the general manager said, well, don't feel bad. We have teams that come from all over the world to do the advanced course for training. And very few of them can make it all the way through. Like, it's that hard. The advanced course is that difficult. So I was like, okay, well, I don't feel quite that bad because I'm certainly not at that level. But
I think all those outdoor type activities are hugely popular. And yeah, adding a bit of adventure into your holiday is always something people want to do. I think I might be more of the one, yeah, sitting, looking after the bags and watching. Yeah, it looks good for other people.
Sure.
Take the photos.
Yeah, something for everyone. You know, not everybody wants to do those physically challenging things like that.
Kayaking looks really fun. So talking about water, I think a lot of people, if they don't go for Kennedy Space Center, they might have been to the area to get on a cruise ship. And I think one of the things is, because the flights back to the UK tend to be sort of late afternoon or late evening, if they get off the cruise ship quite early at 7-8 o'clock in the morning, then actually they've got an entire day of just hanging around an airport or trying to do something. And I think it's quite a good idea to maybe spend a couple of days after your cruise to spend it on the Space Coast. So what kind of things would people kind of do if they've just got off a cruise, for example?
You know, the port is very, very friendly. It's not like a lot of the ports that you've seen that are very industrialized. Our port is very easy to get in and out of. There's an area called the Cove where there's lots of little restaurants and bars that you can walk around. They have something called Exploration Tower, which is a 5-story tower that has a lot of history of the area. And you can get great views there. There's a helicopter ride that you can take on the side of the port. So there's all kinds of things that you can do either before you cruise or after. One of the things that I think is a big tip is kind of a locals tip that they know is a lot of people will fly into Orlando International Airport and then they'll stay overnight and then get up early in the morning and go to their cruise ship. And what we recommend is if you're flying into Orlando, that's fine, but come over to the coast, get a hotel on the beach. You can have dinner, take a walk on the beach, and then you get up in the morning and most of the hotels have a free shuttle over to the port and you get up in a more leisurely manner. And, you know, you're 10, 15 minutes from the port. So you go right to the port and get on your ship that day. And I think that's one great way to take advantage of the area. The other is for people who reverse, they go ahead and go on the cruise. And then when they come back, you know, just decompress for a day or two. Because usually after people get off a cruise ship, you need a day of rest from all the fun that they've had. So, you know, that's something that a lot of people do as well. So, you know, we recommend that. That's sort of an insider tip. And I think you'll find it much more relaxing and it gives you a chance to kind of do the things you want to do, but in a more leisurely fashion and truly in the spirit of being on holiday.
I think that's a great tip. As much as I love the Hyatt at Orlando International, I think waking up, being able to see the beach out of your window rather than the inside of the airport is probably preferable, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And also when you've been on a cruise, you generally have ate quite a bit of food and maybe drank a bit too much. So the rope course actually might be a good way of burning off some of the energy and
the kayaking.
You can burn off all those calories. It means you can have that extra slice of chocolate cake on the cruise ship, knowing full well that you're going to burn it all off when you're kayaking afterwards.
Exactly. Yeah.
But speaking of food, there's plenty of places to go and eat in your area as well, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. It's we have hundreds and hundreds of restaurants here. Of course, the seafood is extremely fresh, as you can imagine. We're surrounded by water, so there's all kinds of different fish and shrimp. And what's nice about the restaurants here is, you know, Orlando's really great because they have some really high profile chefs, celebrity chefs who've started restaurants over there. We have a lot of sort of what I would call mom and pop type of restaurants, which were, you know, started by locals, started by somebody who's a great chef, but, you know, wanted to stay in the local area. And what's nice about our dining is, yeah, we have some fine dining, of course, but most of our dining is very relaxed and very casual. And it's, you know, it's not like a stuffy environment. You go and you could be wearing shorts and you're fine. And there's restaurants on the beach side, there's restaurants on the mainland side. So really cuisine of all kinds. But of course, we're known for our seafood. I mean, that's something that we're known for, but all kinds of American food, other kinds of cuisine, international cuisine as well. Actually, some really great Thai restaurants. If you ever have tried Thai food, the Southeast Asian style of cooking, and I love it with the curries and all kinds of different flavors. So we have a little bit of something for everyone. And if you want to be adventurous, you can be. If you want to just get a hamburger and a chicken strips or whatever, then you can certainly do that. By the way, I also wanted to mention there's some great pubs here in our area, including English pubs and Irish pubs. If you're missing a pint of Guinness and you need to have that, we have plenty of places where you can enjoy that. And if you want fish and chips, you can get fish and chips or a steak and kidney pie. I mean, we have British and Irish gentlemen who came over and said, you know, I'm going to start a pub here. And so we actually have quite a few really good ones here.
Well, something for everybody then. Even if we're missing home, we can get a bit of that, but we can have some of your lovely Floridian food as well. I understand you even have a key lime pie festival.
We do. We have a key lime pie festival. There's actually a store that's across from Ron John's, and you can go in and they'll let you sample the key lime pie. Well, the owner every year holds a big festival, and so everybody comes together and they have all kinds of activities and fun things to do, but you can also enjoy a key lime pie, which is very unique to Florida. Florida Keys are in the southern part of the state, and there's these very small limes that are produced down there. And it's the only place that I'm aware of that has those. Those are used for making pie, and the pie's delicious. It's sweet but tart.
Oh, my mouth's watering now. I love key lime pie. Well, it was all brilliant. Thank you so much, Peter. We do always end our show with a few top tips. I mean, you've already given us quite a lot, to be fair, but do you have any recommendations or local tips that you can give us for when we're visiting the Space Coast area?
Yeah, I'm going to give a couple that that are personally important for me because they're things that I do. We have lots of tennis courts in the area, and I play at the Cocoa Beach Country Club. It's actually open to the public, and they have a couple of clay courts as well as hard courts. And so if you wanted to grab a racket and come out and bounce, you know, hit around a little bit, they'll probably even lend you a racket if you don't want to bring your racket with you. But I know tennis is a popular sport in the UK. That's one thing we have. The other thing that I would recommend, it's along the lines that I talked about kayaking, but during the summertime from about June till about September, we have something in the river called bioluminescence, which is a big word for these plankton that glow at night. What activates them is any time the water gets stirred up, like with a paddle or something like that, they literally light up this brilliant green light in the river. And if you've never seen it, it's only around in a couple of different parts of the world. And this is one of them. You can go out and take a tour. They'll kind of take you out around these islands, and you paddle your kayak, and you just watch these beautiful plankton glowing. It really is incredible. It's only, like I said, it's only during the summer months, like from June to September, but it's really fantastic. So that's my other tip. I did that for my birthday one year, and I just really had a blast, and it was wonderful, and something I would recommend everyone do. So those are just a couple of things that I like that, you know, sort of personal to me, but hopefully other people might enjoy it.
Oh, sounds fantastic. I think there's a lot more out on the Space Coast than people necessarily originally think. I think people just think it's just the Space Center, which is obviously a massive part, but there's so many other things that you can do. And as I said before, if you're taking a cruise, it's a great way to get back into reality or get back into a sort of different kind of vacation and holiday when you step off the cruise. Much better than going to the Hyatt, spending all day in Orlando International Airport.
Yeah, definitely. I think a few nights over there, people would really appreciate adding that onto their holiday. I know you have lots of information on your website, don't you? So that's the visitspacecoast.com?
That's right, visitspacecoast.com. And like I said, there's an area you can go into right off the homepage to look at launch information. But then there's also, you can search around the site. It has all the attractions, all the different activities that I mentioned, all the museums I mentioned, lots of historic information, and then, you know, lots of fun little things. We have an ice cream tour. For those of you who might like ice cream, we have from one end of the county to the other, you can go and sample all kinds of different ice creams from around the area and things like that. There's also a beer tour. We have a lot of craft beer, locally brewed beers So if you're a fan of that, that's something that you could do. So yeah, there's all kinds of great information on there.
Yeah, well, we'll put all of those details in the show notes as well, so everybody's got that information easily to hand. That was so interesting. Thank you ever so much for your time. We really appreciated having you on the show.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for hosting me.
Well, that was great, wasn't it? A huge thank you again to Peter for speaking to us. I found all that so interesting.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just think that the Space Coast is just to go to Kennedy Space Center for a day. But as Peter's explained, there's actually so much you can do that it's definitely worth adding on, you know, a minimum of one night, two, three, maybe four nights onto your stay. And as we've sort of said before, the olden days of going for a 14-night stay to Orlando have kind of gone out the window. We're seeing a lot more people going on 16, 17, 18-night stays. And I think the Space Coast is just going to become more and more popular once people find out all the amazing things you can do there.
Yeah, and a bit more laid back than Orlando, isn't it? And good to have a more of a relaxing time, end of your holiday, after you've done all those theme parks and completely tidy yourselves out, then go and have a bit more of a chill time over on the coast.
Yeah, or you could just do it in the middle of your holiday instead if you wanted to. So if you're doing a split stay center, maybe you're staying for so many nights at Disney and then you're going off to Universal or vice versa, instead of going straight up and then maybe go and do a couple of nights at the Space Center, recuperate, recharge your batteries, and then head off to your next destination.
Yeah, or if you've been on a cruise out of Port Canaveral, rather than drive back to the airport straight away, a night or two staying on the Space Coast before you fly home is a really nice option.
Definitely much better than hanging around Orlando Airport. As nice as it is, it's much better to be hanging around at the beach for a couple of days than it is around Orlando Airport, I think.
If you'd like to find out more about visiting the Space Coast, all the details are in the show notes, or get in touch. All our contact details are on the website. That's fairytaleholidays.co.uk, or just check out the show notes too. And that's all for this week. Thanks for listening.
And have a magical day.